Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I'll start things off.
Yes, please.
It is cold.
Oh, minus six this morning, you know.
I got minus five in my area.
Not fun walking.
Phone this morning, because I basically had my phone set up to like do like weather. Mm. It literally said minus six. Thanks. I was like, there's no thank you about that. That's just rude. Minus six.
I don't appreciate cold. It makes me hurt. I don't understand that.
Isn't it?
Instantly makes you dry. My face was peeling off like a mofo. It was snowing in my face. I don't understand it. It wasn't even bloody snowing. I'm like, I greased myself up. Why am I dry already? What the hell?
He sucks the melanin out of you, man.
Yeah, I believe I left this morning around about 6:20 on the way to work. And the minute I opened the door, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I should have called in so I ain't coming in, because I wanted to go back to be fair. I should have known what the day was going to be. You know when you wake up and you're like, oh, whoa, another day, another dollar, all right, let's go. And I got up and I thought, no, man, just go back. It was too cold. The heating was on. The curtains were drawn. And I'm thinking, I didn't ask for this. This is too cold. Too cold for January.
I felt all of us like at the beginning of the thing.
Yeah,
would make
for real.
Me... Kurt Russell?
You're greedy now, yeah?
I guess so. I mean, sometimes I think I'm getting a beard these days.
I don't want to be anyone. It doesn't end well for the spoiler. It doesn't end well for anyone in that film.
That's very true. That's very true. But
unless you
want to what? Are you going to debate like about Charles and that Charles is not a thing?
Charles is the thing. He is the thing.
Charles is the thing, especially if you read the comics. But on that note... Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast talking about nerdery geekism and all else in between from a freezing ass South London postcode. I am your very cold host, Shanners. Next to me is the equally freezing bruv.
That's all I can say right now.
So cold. And the other equally freezing, big man, bigger brew, red. You all right?
Yeah, I'm just chapping out here. Want to be someplace warm, warmer climate, with a nice pina colada in hand, and just chill. Instead of this cold winter night.
Nah, man. It's all about hot chocolate right now. I can do about hot chocolate. Or a cup of tea right now.
Hot chocolate, cup of tea. Anyway, let's warm up the cockles a little bit. So, remember like when we were talking about, we had an episode we were talking about, video shop posters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. That's a throwback, yeah.
Stay in your brain and stuff. The other day I was thinking, you think of old films, like, oh, I fancy watching that. Like, I think the other day I messaged you, Rob, said, I haven't watched The Faculty in a while. It's time to dust that one off and give that a watch, I think. But I thought of a film called House, because the poster, which I'm going to share, like, it was a staple of video shops. It's just like this zombie hand pressing the doorbell.
Yeah.
And I absolutely, it like, the mad thing is I never saw it at the time. I saw it years later on Sky.
And I wanna Night Horror Classic, right?
I feel like we had that it was rented from the video shop in our days. So I do remember watching that in Brixton back in the day. And I,
yeah. I feel like I didn't register. Yeah, because I was too scared.
To be fair, I watched that at a stupidly young age because the rule was, if you have nightmares, don't come crawling to us.
Don't come crying to us. That
was the rule. And, love it.
101.
Yeah, and I watched it. That's the only time I've ever watched it. I think I saw part two more than I saw part one. I saw one of the sequels. I can't remember.
Because there's three of them.
I know I've seen the original. I'm just drawing a blank for the other two.
Because, like, okay, so the one I have the most memories of are the ones when there's a kid with glasses in it, right? Like a geeky kid in glasses, right?
Yes.
Yes, because it was when he's older.
That's two.
Okay, I think, and then, like, yeah, there are these two guys that kind of, like, bullied him into, like, doing the whole sacrificing to get what it's for, and,
That sounds a bit like I think I only like watched two like once.
Yeah, like I feel like that was like a staple on Sky Movies for a while. It was
completely
on repeat. But House One, I only remember watching one time, and I remember bits and pieces of it. I remember like this creepy scene from where in the closet where one of the kids had turned into a monster. And it was just like you had the flashlight on him. Just like,
Okay.
Sorry, I had a flashback.
I want to talk about House. I love House. It's a weird movie though.
Mm.
And when I started researching it, it is linked to our childhood and film stuff hard in a way that is actually a little bit mad. Okay, just to clarify, we're talking about House as in House with the TV series. We're talking about 1986 House. I will put a link to the poster. You'll see it when we put it out there. And so it was written by Fred Decker. Fred Decker wrote and directed Night of the Creeps and The Monster Squad.
Oh, course he did.
Two films I love right there.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, bruv. It was produced by Sean S. Cunningham, who of course produced and directed Friday the 13th. And Sean S. Cunningham also produced Last House on the Left, which was written and directed by
Wes Craven.
So I'm going to pause you there and just leave you with that word, Wes Craven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about something else and how that's linked to House. House is one of those weird movies where it's like, it's horror. When you see the house, which I will also leave a link to, you're going to know the house because it's so...
Oh my God.
What?
I already got the link, shit.
You got the link, right?
Yeah, I never actually realised it until...
Neither did I.
And I really watched it recently as well.
Neither did I. Bruv's got there already. It's okay. Vigon will get there. It's fine. It's hitting everybody kind of at the same time. So today I basically always talk about House and another film because they're like two of the films that I kind of like have a place in my heart. House, because it's really a weird, surreal, creepy, odd film. And it also has a trope that I kind of love, which is the author who has to go somewhere to a dark place to get his inspiration. So it reminds me of like Bag of Bones and Dark Half by Stephen King. And the author is called Roger Cobb. And basically he moves into his aunt's house and his aunt died by suicide. And he's decided to put a book out about his Vietnam War experiences. And the house just has this surreal, all these kind of surreal, gross, awful things just start to happen in the house. And also, he's separated from his wife and his son is missing. And spoiler alert, the son turns up in a surreal dream that you get that happens in the house. And it's never really quite explained. But what I kind of find weird about House is about confronting your fears and about lost potential. Because there's some characters in there who kind of never get to reach their full potential because of circumstance, tragedy, war, suicide, self-harm. And also about confronting your fears, because a lot of what Roger Cobb goes through and is like trying to deal with is his fear and his PTSD from Vietnam. So, I mean, obviously I didn't get this at the time when I was watching it because I had no idea about these things. But it's one on a rewatch, you kind of like, to me as a kid, it just had this like sick imagery that kind of stuck with me. I don't know about how you felt about it, bruv, or Big Man. You haven't seen it for years, right?
No, but you know what? They say an image lasts a lifetime.
Mm.
Poster will forever stick in my head because that was, as we said in the previous issue about movie posters, that stands the test of time.
Mm. Mm.
It's just something about that hand. It's like it's coming at you from every angle.
Yeah.
Every angle. And to be fair, I mean, like I said, I haven't seen it in a very long time, but what I do remember about it, when you think about it now, it is rather hard-hitting horror. Don't get me wrong, there's brilliant comedy moments in it as well. But
it's definitely dark comedy, yeah.
But also, it is a very... definitely hits you in the wrong places at the right time.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to watch you now, definitely for sure now, hearing about this.
You can say something, bruv?
Again, like I said, I've only watched it the one time when I was a kid, and I remember bits and pieces of it, so I can't really add much of an insight other than the images I remember, and most of the images traumatized me, so I try not to remember them, if that's okay.
Yes, so. That's completely fine. That's okay. That's all right. But yeah, I think it's something that I do love that you can kind of go back to movies and get more depth out of them. So I would like to recommend that you watch House. And I think one of the things I also enjoy about House is it's almost like it's a kind of, do you remember the film Jacob's Ladder with Tim Robbins' version?
Yeah.
It's a bit like a lighter Jacob's Ladder. I mean, the endings are different, but it's the whole thing about dealing with the horrors of war and what that does to a person and the relationship with the child. And it's almost like like what you've been through and the fear of not confronting that can ruin the family and have these far-reaching consequences. And you've got to deal with the hand that you're dealt. Because there's a whole like part in the movie where he's been haunted by this figure called Big Ben, and Big Ben was like his mate in Vietnam, and he's carrying this guilt because he feels like, because Big Ben was tortured, and he feels a bit like, maybe if I had done something that, so there's a lot of kind of aggression from Big Ben to him, but it's actually kind of, you almost kind of get like, I was actually him feeling about his experience. So yeah, it's a bit of a deep one, but highly enjoyable, and I recommend that for watching. But here's where things, once again, I fell down a rabbit hole. So remember I said that Frank Decker wrote and directed it, Fred Decker, so he wrote and directed Night of the Creeps and Monster Squad as well, and Robocop 3. But also that Fred Decker was a script doctor on Titan AE and Demolition Man.
Oh, wow.
Those are two very different films.
Right? I know.
Right, they're both sci-fi in a sense, but they're very different.
One's very different films.
Oh, Titan AE, that's a film I haven't heard about.
This is why I brought it up, because like, I want to hear bruv get a little bit...
Titan AE is such an unappreciated gem of a sci-fi animation film. It's
Don... But didn't that get off like Fox or something like that for a little bit?
Say again?
I said, didn't that kill off like a studio?
Again, 20th Century Fox is from Don Bluth Studios, so like...
No, Don Bluth Studios.
So basically, you're talking like from the guys who brought you American Tale.
Time,
Anastasia. So I think it came after Anastasia.
It did.
And it was pretty much a sci-fi action film. Like, all-star cast, Matt Damon. Drew Barrymore.
Isn't Jeff Goldblum in there?
not Jeff Goldblum, what's his name? Luigi from the original live action film. What's his name? John
Leguizamo.
That's the one.
Leguizamo, John Leguizamo. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Nathan Lane was in it as well.
Yeah. What's your theme, bruv? What's your theme?
Cosmic Castaway. And oh my god, that the soundtrack was banging. Oh my god, it has some good tunes on there, yeah. Man.
It's yeah. My time to fly. See.
Oh.
This is what I said when I went down a rabbit hole. I went down a rabbit. I was like, oh my, this is linked to so
no
much.
No one talks about that film, man. Jesus Christ, piss me off now.
Well, I guess we're going to have to talk about this film. Probably not today. We can't do enough right now in this brief, but I think we're going to have to do a Titan AE episode.
You know, you saying that, I actually forgot about the casting, as you pointed out. I mean,
that was such good casting.
Ron Perlman, Ton Loke.
Yeah,
I mean, wow, yeah.
It was an all-star cast.
Absolutely. So, like I said, I went down a rabbit hole. So, yeah. So Monster Squad, which is a personal favorite of all of us as well. Mm-hmm. So who co-wrote with Fred Decker on Monster Squad? Do we know?
Off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Shane Black.
Shut up.
Shane Black co-wrote Monster Squad with Fred Decker. So obviously that now links to the whole catalogue of Shane Black.
It wasn't Christmas though.
You literally took the words out of my mouth.
It wasn't Christmas. That's because he co-wrote.
Okay, fair enough.
See, when Shane Black is like a co or executive, he doesn't have the thing to say, but it's Christmas. Unless someone's like Rennie Harlan, this guy, all right, I'll make it Christmas just for you. Since you're executive producer, you know, I can see Shane Black going, you can direct Long Kiss Goodnight, but it has to be at Christmas. And Rennie Harlan's like, all right, okay, sure, why not? So, remember I said, well, when we in the beginning of this whole thing, we basically saw how there was a link between Friday the 13th and Sean S. Cunningham and Wes Craven.
Mm-hmm.
And Wes Craven wrote and directed a film that's actually inspired by a true story, which I didn't know. Which, I love how Wes Craven, may he rest, had this kind of thing where he'd see articles that inspire some great and amazing films. I'm sure most people know that Nightmare on Elm Street was inspired by some articles that that Wes Craven saw about teenagers who couldn't sleep and would die in mysterious circumstances.
I do remember that.
Yeah. So in this story that Wes Craven was inspired by, apparently two African-American burglars broke into a property with the intent to steal from it, but they then discovered that there were two children who'd been locked up by their parents. That went on to inspire the film The People Under the Stairs.
Yet again, throwback to that damn poster, yeah?
Once again, poster game is tight. Once again, that's 1991, People Under the Stairs. I love the fact that even though I thought of these two films separately, they are actually linked by very strange means, and I am here for it. For those who don't know, The People Under the Stairs is a fantastic film. I think it's really underrated.
It is underrated.
It really is. It's like probably one.
It's
of,
far too underrated.
Yeah, it's probably one of the first proper in a long time of black horror. I can say it's classed as black horror because the protagonist, the main protagonist, the main guy, Brandon Adams, is a black young man.
Hell yeah!
And living my best life because let's be honest, everyone wants to be a hero. Every guy wants to be a hero. And
yep.
And I always imagine being in a situation like that where I save the day, get a girl. I want to be in that situation. Well, not even more, I'm too old for that shit. But back in the day when I was still in my prime, I wanted to save the day. Take care of the bad guys.
Yeah,
get a girl, be a hero. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be like Brandon.
And yes, people, you heard right. The character's name was Fool.
Fool, run, Fool,
Run, fool! Run! Look, okay, for those who don't know, if you haven't seen it, pause, go get, wait for it to deliver, put it in, watch it. Because I guarantee it is a, honestly, a wonderful 90 minutes, you know, that tight time of the 90s. And the basic premise is, I've just described it, which is that Fool basically, I hate saying Fool.
His name.
It's his name. Fool basically needs money. I think his gran's got cancer or something, any money for treatment. So Spencer, who's like a neighborhood like hood, played by Ving Rhames.
Leroy.
says to him, if he'll be the lookout, he'll give him money for him to get money for the grand surgery. They go to like the rich house in this like, and it's really like dilapidated part of town, and when they break in, they find, I hate even saying it, mummy and daddy, because that's what they call themselves the whole damn time.
But to be fair, and... they are cast in like credits as man and woman.
Yeah, they are.
He's man and woman.
So yeah, thank you. I'm gonna call them man and woman because mummy and daddy sounds really weird, and it just makes me feel a bit ick. But yeah, they break in and basically find their cannibal offspring who live in the walls, and it sounds insane because it is. And essentially, it's a very I think I saw like a Wes Craven interview about it, and he basically said like, yeah, it's talking about the fact that there is money to be found in porn.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
For areas, and the people who aren't good have it. This is an analogy for America. It's the people who are working their damnness off just to live are being exploited by these people, because what you find out is man and woman are like the landlords of almost everyone in the ghetto, and just charge them extortionate money. You also find out that they come from a background of interbreeding, and they used to at one point, like, I think it was they used to be like caretakers and undertakers, and he basically would like sell like really shit like caskets for really inflated prices. But then they got into the real estate game, realized there's far money to be made and exploited, and that's what they did. And it's a wonderful roller coaster ride. I think in the beginning when I first saw it, I thought Ving Rhames was going to be our protagonist. Wrong. Ving Rhames is out of the game in a good like 10-15 minutes. He's out. He's taken out by man. And you end up following Fool. And it's really good. And
by man.
Yes.
Oh shit, there's woman. Oh shit. Run!
Run, woman!
Oh, you've got to mention man usually parades the house in a gimp outfit.
In a gimp. Mm-hmm. Oh, I was coming to that bit. And oh, also they call each other mum and daddy. Yeah,
and they're brother around they're really, the house. And they're literally brother and sister.
They're brother and sister. Oh. And the children are basically children they've just taken and stolen and made to be their children. And if they don't obey the rules, which is see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, they maim them and throw them to live in the walls. I mean, you have to see it to believe it, because, right, the walls are like, you're like, what the hell? Like, I couldn't live in that house, because I'm like, the walls are like passages. But the children have all, like, made...
Well, speaking like, not children, child, because technically the bad kids are kept under the stairs.
Yeah, that's it. They're kept under the stairs.
And then there's obviously and Roach who escapes.
There's Roach! Played by the wonderful Sean Whalen.
Love Sean Whalen.
I love Sean Whalen. Please follow him on TikTok. He is...
So wholesome.
The thing is, he was the highlight next to Brandon. It was Sean Whalen was Roach. And I've loved Roach ever since that. And...
That was
I just
first
love
role.
It.
That was Sean Wayne's first role.
Yeah. That was Sean Wayne's first role. And it's a really good film. And I think I mean, because it wouldn't be appropriate, but there's obviously a girl there, Alice, who's like wanting to escape, and she tries to help Fall and, you know, and has a relationship, but not like that with Roach. And that's the whole thing. It's not like kind of, there's nothing kind of gross about it other than mum and dad. Mm. It's gross where it should be gross. And it's not creepy in the ways we shouldn't be. Everyone's just trying to help each other out. And even, I think the thing I loved about it, I remember me and Bruv really responding to it, which is when Fool escapes and he goes back for Alice.
Yeah.
Okay, we were like, yeah.
Because that's what gave her the courage, because she's always been told, obviously she's been told if you get punished, if you don't do what you're told, you get punished. Because obviously she has brothers and who have been punished for their actions.
Punished, yeah.
So, like, seeing the person that her first real friend outside of the house,
yeah,
run away and get escaped, but then come back. Her,
yeah.
Like that's a true. See, that's true heroism at its finest. I respect true heroism. That was good. Where's Craven? You should have done more films like that.
Well, it was really good because I remember like he brings like child like CPS. Mm. He tries to do it the right way, and they manage to blag it, because obviously they've been reported so many times. Mm. They managed to blag it, but he's still like Fool still has a plan. That's why like Fool's the wrong name for him, because Fool was not a fool. Fool is no fool. Sorry, was that Big Ben?
No, I was agreeing with you. That's why I said it's actually clear by naming him Fool when he was anything but.
Exactly. And I won't give away the full ending because I want more people to watch it, because it's such a good Wes Craven film. And I don't feel like it over-exits. You know, sometimes like a film has a message, right? And it just goes on and you're like, I get it. It's about this. It's fine. But I don't feel like both of the movies over-egg the message about the horrors of things that people go through and how they deal with those circumstances. Mm. And it was weirder to sit with both films and think about them in that way and be like, this could have been like done really well. And like I think when The People on the Stairs came out, like... you can see people were half-half. And I think, if I'm going to be honest, I think a lot of it was half-half because I think it touched close to home with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I mean? I feel like it kind of was like when you're sitting there and you've got a load of, let's be real, white people in black communities who are exploiting it and then saying, well, if you just work harder, things will be fine. It's like, how can you when the odds are against you? How can you when these people are literally leaving their own to eat each other? Because that's the whole thing with People Understairs, is that the children turn cannibalistic.
See, I think the thing that was against the film in the first place is that one thing about Wes is that he was ahead of the game.
That film
was, when it comes to messages, people weren't ready for it.
I agree.
Right.
And I feel like it's more poignant now than ever before.
Big time, big time.
Mm.
I'm waiting for and a remake it, I mean, to come out at some point.
Well, apparently that has been optioned, a redo. I think it's a TV show, which would actually...
Ooh, that would work.
That would really work better. That would really work. And obviously, we have seen some fantastic television. Big up to Quinta for the Emmy win, by the way. Bigger up every time. But I feel like it would definitely work on TV. They could get to expand upon certain things. But and you're right, bruv. When you like look back at a lot of like Wes Craven's catalogue, he had enough hits and misses. Everything can't be a win because it's all like you're all learning as things go on. Do you know what I mean? So, but when you look back on things like my favorite Wes Craven films is People Under the Stairs, Nightmare on Elm Street 1, Defo. Three is a favorite as well. Three to me is like my ultimate favorite, if I'm honest with you. Three's my ultimate favorite. And also New Nightmare. New Nightmare to me is so underrated.
That was ahead of the game. Like, that was, what's the word I'm looking for? That was not progressive, but
definitely a game changer ahead of its time for sure.
Yeah, because I
think
like,
you're right, progressive, bruv. I think you're right.
Progressive? Because like there's a certain word that obviously I can't think what it is. Like the way it transitioned from real world to in film, like meta. Yeah, because like obviously like that kind of happens nowadays. Like you can find a genre that happens. It's a genre about it now. So basically, and he was doing it, and he brought that out before it was really a thing.
Yeah, so completely.
Like, so like, yeah, ahead of the game,
and to get like everybody on board, in himself, Heather Langenkamp, Robert Englund, to kind of like play themselves but not themselves, versions of themselves. That Freddy was scary as hell.
Because he was a monster. It wasn't.
Completely. Like... And I've got to say, like, it's a weird feeling to have, like, I remember when I watched the first Nightmare on Elm Street and Tina's death shook me. That messed me up. And I think, like and Rod's death, those two was the stuff of actual nightmares. But to have the actual guts to go back and do it and execute it like it's real was genius, and it's a masterstroke. And I'm like I don't want to hear them redoing that. One, I'm like, leave it as is. It's perfect the way it is. Had something to say. Sorry.
The only thing is though that you're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street and the whole Kruger, Robert Englund masterclass. There was talk of a reboot, another reboot that it wanted to do, and Kevin Bacon's name was touted as playing Kruger.
No.
I thought voice wise, yes, but no. Only can play Kruger.
I think you'd be surprised. You know,
I love it. Go, bruv, go.
Like. Credit where credit's due. Kevin Bacon, like, is unappreciated, like, genius.
Oh, he's got the range.
Yeah, so I can see him doing it. But the problem is, when you're doing characters like Freddy Krueger, like, Jason, you can probably get away with it. Even Michael Myers can get away with it. But Freddy Krueger is so intrinsic in our culture in a sense that there's only one Freddy Krueger, and that is Robin.
There's only one Freddy. Yeah.
And that's the problem. If he was a silent protagonist, it could work, because obviously there's something you could probably bring. You could probably get away with just being a silent, maybe add a few nuances to it. But at the same time, you're just a guy in a mask. Freddy wasn't a guy in a mask. Freddy is Freddy. And
the lyrics on point, killing's on point.
And like when it comes like to Jackie Earle, because nothing against Jackie Earle. Jackie Earle's a fucking good actor.
I was gonna say, bro, you took the right out of my head that Jackie Earle Haley is no lightweight.
Yeah, and like because like he couldn't do it. Yeah, Rorschach, hands down amazing. But he couldn't because he was. I feel like he was told to do the whole like have a few like one line quirky moments, and it just came off as, if he just kept it serious, maybe it might have worked, but I don't think it would have, like, because like Freddy is Freddy. The last time he was like truly like like truly scary. And I mean, like, not like Seven. I'm talking about like before, like Seven. Mm. Last time checking, Freddy really scared me. Were three and were one and three.
Oh yeah,
Freddy Krueger is scariest.
Yeah.
So and after that, there's no going back now. It's like the Pandora's box of Freddy Krueger has been opened, so you can't really recreate that. But they're gonna try. I mean, again, I feel like Kevin Bacon was not a bad shout. I feel like he could surprise people, but.
The only thing is, I think Kevin Bacon, I mean, everyone's going to think Footloose and whatever. I think Hollow Man.
And Stir of Echoes.
X-Men.
Murder in the First.
I actually saw this Kevin Bacon film a couple months ago, and the name's going to bug me. And I've heard about this for years, where basically his family gets killed. And he's on a one-man crusade.
Yeah, it's from the guys who did Saw as well, isn't it?
A film that is, and it's going to bug me.
I can't remember. I thought it was Dead Silence, but something else is Dead.
Yeah, Death Sentence.
Yeah, Death Sentence. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, because like, yeah, he was scary as hell in that. But he was kind of justified in his anger. Like he was kind of like he was very similar to like how there's another unappreciated film that not people gave a lot of credit, but I know Chantal would hate it for one reason, but. But the film was really good. It was Gerard Butler and Jamie
Laura Biden Citizen.
Yeah, that like yeah. Gerard Butler in that
he was pre-Punisher, man.
Yeah, and you got it. Like
yeah.
And it was justified, but he was scary as F in that film. Yeah. So
yeah.
Jamie Foxx be damned, isn't that right, sis?
Yeah. Damn him. Mofo. Anyway, we move on. Credit where credit is due. Laura Biden Citizens is a good movie. It reminds you that Gerard Butler has the range.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the thing with Back to Freddy is that like, because I'm like watching the 2010 Nightmare on Elm Street, and then you watch the original Nightmare on Elm Street. The same thing happens, which is that there's a lot of kind of like the way that Jackie is, which is very similar in terms of like, you know, in the shadows. And you're not focusing on the face of Freddy, and that's from the beginning. But the issue is that by three, Freddy had become something else. You could see like that face had become something. He was almost bigger than the scarring and the makeup. He was Robert Englund inhabited the role, and there's no space. You're right, especially because Robert's alive. There's no space for anybody else to do it.
Yeah.
Because Robert is still alive. Like, you haven't got that whole thing. Like, you're right, bruv. Because of the way of, like, Michael Myers and
Jason
are, anyone could kind of do it. It's almost kind of like, dare I say it, and I don't say this to be gatekeepy, but only kind of real heads are like, certain Jasons are my Jason. Do you get what I mean? Because they're used to how they like how big it is, how hench it is, and what have you, and they know the whole controversies behind casting and what have you. But essentially, really, anyone can kind of pick it up because that the mask is important.
Because it's like I can't imagine anyone other than Tony Todd being Candyman.
Amen.
Like. No shade thrown at the last film. I heard the last one was really good. I haven't seen it personally myself, but I've heard it's very good. But like, I get what they were doing with it, but I'm sorry, Tony Todd is Candyman.
But even that last film still has to go back to Tony.
Mm. Oh yeah, it does. Like,
it can never, and it's right, it can never, because for a lot of us, that is the first time we saw a black horror antagonist. Yes. That's striking, that has something like, you know, like a Pinhead or a Freddy or what have you. You know, he's the Candyman, he's the Hook, he's the Stuff of Nightmares, he's bruv, you're getting better at that every year, you know.
He's finally hit me from my side.
It's really unnerving. Helen, you shouldn't have said it. Like, even Helen. Now I can't do it. Helen, why?
Be my victim.
Bruv, that's getting really good.
You know, I'm beginning to worry about you, bro, you know.
Really, I'm starting to worry about it.
I'm lonely, what do you expect?
Aww. Come over, let's have some chicken. It's going to be all right.
Oh, Venom.
No, you can't do that one because then it gets to Tom and it gets really weird. So that can't happen. That's just weird. Hey, man,
play the game and you get authentic Tony Todd venom.
Oh yeah, for real.
It's bad enough that Idris Elba looks like one of our uncles, but we're gonna leave that one alone because. On that note, I'm gonna draw a line under that with the recommendation that everyone should give 1986 House a watch, and also 1991 People Under the Stairs. I guarantee you're in for a treat, especially watching Sean Whalen and Brandon Adams. It's full. Fool and Roach. They're such like, they're named so badly, but they're so, so good. God damn it.
Do you remember when Brandon Adams was everywhere? Like...
Brandon Adams was, y'all don't understand. Quick. You don't understand how Brandon Adams was everywhere and how they dressed him up as Michael Jackson almost on every occasion.
To be fair, a Moonwalker, bloody hell.
He was everywhere. They permed that boy's hair, everything. Poor thing. My God.
Money had to be made back then.
Because one thing Brandon Adams, the two films that come, or three things come to mind, obviously Moonwalker, People on the Stairs, Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks.
It's kind of funny because people seem to forget that in Mighty Ducks, in the first one, he had a brother who was played by Jesse Smollett. And then all of a sudden, next film, Jesse wasn't there anymore. Interesting. How times haven't changed. I'm just saying.
On that note.
I'm just saying, like, you know.
Talk about pre-cog. Jesus. On that note, thank you very much for your time, your ears, your energy. We hope it made you smile, made you laugh. You intrigued a little bit. I once again, please check out House 1986, People Under the Stairs, and also I didn't realize I was going to recommend it, but I am going to recommend it. The Monster Squad, if you haven't, because one of our personal favorites. Just think the Goonies takes on the Universal Monsters.
Yeah, Dark Universe.
Dark Universe Monsters, and just go along with it. It's fun, and I'm also going to recommend New Nightmare. Definitely, for those who don't know what happens, I'm gonna say go in blind and go along with the journey. And for those who have seen it, hey, it's worth a rewatch.
And I'm gonna recommend Mighty Ducks for the fall of the early days of Jesse Smollett.
Bro, what about Titan AE, man?
The prequel.
The prequel. And Titan AE,
because that film, that film.
We're gonna have to cover that in a future episode because Titan AE is. Underrated. It's far too underrated. Definitely. But on that note, if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can email us at stjudesavengers@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at messeduppod. Brigman, what's your socials?
I can be found on the gram at Mr_Roberts_V1. And on X, at War3782. How about you, bro?
You call it Twix.
It's it, Twix.
Twix. Yeah. You call it Twix. That's it. That's all. Trademark. Trademark. That's why I'm
messed Twix.
Up. That's us. Twix. It's Twix. That's us. You can find me on YouTube under InstantClassic_KB. You can also find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitch under InstantClassic_Gaming.
Thank you very much for your time, your ears, and we will see you warmer and later.
Take it easy. Bye.
Bye.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by yours truly, Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Tree Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.